From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The Biden administration this week released video footage and photographs of migrant detention facilities in Donna and El Paso, Texas, where thousands of unaccompanied minors are being processed. The point of releasing the images is, in the words of a Customs and Border Patrol official, to, quote, balance the need for public transparency and accountability. Citing the pandemic, the Biden administration has not allowed journalists to visit the facilities, which have become overrun with young refugees. On the same day, Democratic Congressman Henry Cuellar released images of one Texas facility where more than 400 boys were being held in an area meant for 250. Meanwhile, U.S. officials are visiting Mexico this week to finalize a deal on sending COVID vaccines to the Mexican government. But critics fear that migrants are being used as bargaining chips. My guest is Jean Guerrero, investigative border reporter contributing to NPR, the PBS NewsHour, and other public media. She's the author of Crux, a cross-border memoir, which won the Penn Fusion Emerging Writers Prize. She's also the author of the highly acclaimed Hate Monger, Stephen Miller, Donald Trump, and the White Nationalist Agenda. She just wrote a Daily Beast article entitled Mexican MAGA Conspiracy Theorists Fan Flames at the Border. Welcome to the program, Jean.
Great to be here.
So let's first talk about these images and this footage that the Biden administration has released. They released it on Monday through Customs and Border Protection, focusing on two detention facilities in Texas, Donna, Texas, and El Paso, Texas, where hundreds of kids, mostly unaccompanied minors coming across the border, are being processed through. Now, it certainly beats the lack of transparency that the Trump administration was exercising. But what do you think the release of this footage means? Do you believe Biden when he says it's about transparency and accountability?
I think so. I mean, I think the Biden administration is trying to separate and distinguish itself from the Trump administration's deliberate cruelty and policies of you know, systematically separating children from their parents. And so they're releasing this footage to show that they that they're trying to implement a more humane approach at the border, although they are having some difficulties, even though they have more capacity to shelter these children upon arrival into the United States than they did in previous years. A lot of that space is currently unusable because of COVID restrictions and the need to maintain safe distance between, between the children and to keep them safe. So they're having some issues. They're coming under a lot of fire and criticism from the Republican Party, a lot of, right-wing politicians who are claiming that Joe Biden created this disaster himself by promising a more humane approach. Obviously, that is misinformation and misconstrues what is really happening, which is, the fact that these asylum-seeking children have been waiting for, in some cases, years for an opportunity to seek refuge in the United States, and they're fleeing violence and extreme poverty at home, and the politics of the United States have very little to do with, are often secondary or don't play a role at all in their decision to come here.
Right. We saw large numbers of even caravans of migrants head to the U.S. even under Trump's presidency, driven much less, of course, by the very real danger that Trump promised them at the border, and much more so by the danger and violence they faced in their own home countries, which are usually the much bigger consideration, right?
Exactly. I mean, this idea that Trump allies and the Republican Party is trying to spread, that Biden's humanitarian and pro-immigration rhetoric has caused this crisis, completely ignores the fact that the largest caravans we ever saw coming from Central America were under the Trump administration, when he had very, anti-immigrant rhetoric and anti-immigrant policies in place. These are people who will risk their lives to find safety for their children. Usually that means crossing through multiple countries to get here. And, it's a very minor consideration what they're going to encounter at the border. I mean, all of the other challenges that they have to face to get to the border, the danger of cartels in Mexico that prey largely on Central American families, the dangers that they're fleeing at home, the gang, the death threats, all of those weigh much more heavily on these families who I've spoken to at the border than the immigration policies of the United States, which often these people are not even aware of. I mean, they don't have access to good information, and so it's not really a consideration for them.
So is there a reason that does bear on the U.S.'s politics for why there are so many children coming through that is more dependent on the fact that there had been this, you know, essentially bottleneck or closed door at the U.S. border under Trump? Now that things are sort of returning to normal, this is in a way catch up for the last 4 years?
That's exactly right. I think that's one of the most accurate ways that you can put it. Trump strangled legal pathways into the United States over the course of his presidency. He dismantled the U.S.-Mexico asylum system. He gutted our refugee admission system. Biden is slowly rebuilding it. He has yet to undo a majority of the policies that Trump put into place. He's scaling some of them back very carefully. He's still not admitting most families who present themselves at the U.S.-Mexico border. He's just decided, you know, we can't turn children away when they present themselves. I mean, they have a legal right under federal immigration law in the United States and under international human rights conventions to petition for asylum in the United States, and to turn them back to danger is, not a humane approach per the Biden administration.
Is there a reason why unaccompanied children are coming across more so than families? Is the Biden administration restricting families in any way or putting penalties on people who come with their adults who come with their children?
Yes. So the reason we're seeing mostly a surge that is involving unaccompanied minors is because Biden continues to have to keep in place the restrictions that Trump put into place under when the pandemic began, where they decided that they were going to turn everybody away under a Center for Disease Control and Prevention, a CDC order, basically saying that nobody can enter the United States if you don't already have legal status in the United States. And so that continues to be the case under the Biden administration. Families who are seeking asylum in the U.S., in the United States, even if they present themselves legally at a port of entry, they will not be given an opportunity to enter. I spent, last week with the asylum seekers in one of the largest migrant camps in Tijuana. And, these are people who continue to be turned away at the port of entry and who are hoping that Biden will open the border up for them eventually. And that's why they remain there.
And so so some of them, it sounds like, are sending their kids by themselves because they're desperate. And maybe they're making a calculation that they would rather their child find a better life in the U.S., maybe connect up with relatives that they might have already living in the U.S. who could be sponsors, while the parents might, wait for time for U.S. policy to change and be reunited.
Yeah, a large majority of these children who are sent across the border by themselves have relatives, whether it's an aunt or an uncle or a distant cousin, who can receive them and help them, give them a safe place to stay. And that is what is happening. A lot of these asylum seekers who have been waiting a year, 2 years, 3 years to request asylum in the United States, they are very afraid for their lives because of the fact that there so many of them are fleeing death threats. They fear that they can be pursued to the U.S.-Mexico border. They fear the cartels in northern Mexico, who often prey on vulnerable Central American populations. And so they decide in some cases to send their children across the border by themselves, hoping that at least their children will be safe.
The Los Angeles Times on Tuesday posted a story, or actually was, believe it was Monday, published a story showing that Border Patrol is releasing some migrants without court paperwork, stirring confusion. So usually the young people are processed and are let go with court dates for when they would need to appear before an immigration judge. Apparently, some of them are being released without even proper papers. And I'm wondering if this is the Biden administration's attempt to reduce the large numbers being held, which, of course, you know, it's in a tough position, right? Because it takes time to process all the children. If you're inundated and you only have so much time to process all the kids, you're going to end up keeping the kids for longer than the, I believe, 72 hours that is legal. But then if you want to reduce that average period where the kids are being held, maybe some are being released without the proper paperwork. Do you have any sense of what's happening?
Yeah, I mean, that is right now that they're trying to deal with the capacity problems, and they're just overwhelmed resources by expediting, you know, the process of having migrants coming through. And so it appears to be that in some cases, migrants are being released, not without paperwork. I mean, they have, you know, paperwork from ICE and Border Patrol, but they, like, including their fingerprints have been taken, their identities have been recorded, but they're not, they haven't yet received a court date. And this is actually problematic, not, you know, not for the reasons that a lot of far-right extremists like to say, like, you know, Biden is just allowing these people to come in, it's open borders. It's problematic for the asylum seekers themselves. I mean, these are people who they want to go through the legal process so that they can have a legal pathway in the United States, and to not have that paperwork or accurate information from the Biden administration is problematic for them, because then they might, you know, accidentally miss a step in the legal process. And then completely ruin their chances of ever being able to stay permanently in the United States.
Right. It's not very pleasant to have to live deeply in the shadows in the United States. And in fact, the LA Times, just want to quote, said a half dozen of the migrants at the shelter had been issued similar abbreviated paperwork as they watched their children clamber around a playground outside the church school where they slept. The migrants debated whether their paperwork would allow them to remain in the country legally to travel, work, and register their kids for school. So they do want to be in the system. They don't want to disappear into the shadows. They want, and I think immigration lawyers and a lot of documents show that by and large, the vast majority of immigrants that are given court dates show up for their immigration hearings, right?
Absolutely, because they want to be able to integrate into American society. They want to be able to have the same, you know, rights and privileges as people who are here legally. And so if they have the option to do so legally, they will. And so that's the problem that we're seeing with the overwhelmed resources in Border Patrol right now, is that that's not being provided fully to these asylum seekers.
Is the Biden administration sort of stumbling in its attempt to do proper PR? One of the reasons why Customs and Border Patrol on Monday released these two videos I had mentioned earlier and 44 images of the facilities in Donna and El Paso, Texas, was that Democratic Congressman Henry Cuellar released his own photo of a facility showing that there were, you know, 400 approximately young male children being held in a facility meant for just 250. And this, you know, it's easy to sort of reduce this to it's, you know, kids are locked in cages. It's kids being locked in cages when Trump is overseeing it, but it's pretty sounding detention facilities when Biden is doing it. So, of course, it puts the Biden administration in a tough place. Do you think that this release of photo and videos was in response to Cuellar's release of photos?
I do think so. I think, I mean, not just that, but just the increasing pressure that the Biden administration has been under from, you know, journalists and advocates who are asking them for more transparency. And so I think that they're trying to do that. They're trying to correct for some fumbling errors that they made as far as this issue early on. It's clear that this is going to be a challenge for the Biden administration because of the fact that the Republican Party is so intensely seizing on this humanitarian issue to paint Biden and the Democratic Party as an open borders party and as an open borders president who you know, they're trying to paint this as a national security crisis, and it is not. It is not a national security crisis. These are not cartels. These are not criminals. These are not, you know, traffickers coming in. These are families who are seeking asylum in the United States legally.
Tell me about the topic that you covered in the Daily Beast. Your article is entitled Mexican MAGA Conspiracy Theorists Fan Flames at the Border. These are Mexican supporters of Trump?
Yes, they are two social influencers, Mexican social media influencers and conspiracy theorists who garnered a very large following under the Trump administration by live streaming out of the migrant camps in Tijuana when the large caravans came through and spreading conspiracy theories that are very popular among white supremacists about the Jewish philanthropist George Soros allegedly funding this caravan, the Democratic Party allegedly funding child trafficking, essentially conflating asylum-seeking families with traffickers, and also spreading a lot of negative stereotypes about these asylum seekers, which they're doing more and more of. You know, one man, Oscar Ramirez, says that the Central Americans who are coming to the United States are quote unquote lazy, that they're looking for quote unquote easy money, easy welfare. The reason that these are problematic, these people are problematic, is that they're promoting hysteria in the United States on the immigration issue with misinformation. And they're going into the migrant camps, they're broadcasting images of vulnerable people without their permission. One woman, Paloma Zuniga, you know, has repeatedly been in confrontations with the asylum seekers, some of which turned violent. At one point, she was caught on camera physically shoving, chasing and physically shoving a migrant child who was trying to enter the United States with his father to seek asylum. She was screaming at them to go home, that they're not welcome here. She does this for clicks. And then Oscar Ramirez has partnered up with a U.S. right-wing media network called Real America's Voice, and allies of Marjorie Taylor Greene, the congresswoman who is known for promoting QAnon conspiracy theories. He's partnered up with them to further promote these conspiracy theories about a quote unquote invasion, painting the immigrants in a very negative light and just peddling misinformation. And what's very strange, which I discovered in my investigation, is that this man, Oscar Ramirez, he's got a federal drug trafficking conviction. And he's being used as a talking head by US right-wing media outlets, a talking head on border security without any transparency about his criminal background. And he somehow was able to gain re-entry into the United States under the Trump administration, in spite of his federal drug trafficking conviction, which makes him inadmissible. He was somehow able to come in to broadcast with allies of Marjorie Taylor Greene's. The only way he would have been able to do this is with a very hard to get waiver of inadmissibility from the Attorney General himself, the Department of Homeland Security, or the State Department. And none of those agencies responded to my request for comment.
Wow. So you have the same kinds of rhetoric in the post-Trump era living on after Trump himself is ousted. Is it gaining enough traction? Because, of course, there are plenty of people on the left who are very critical of Biden, and it's somewhat understandable considering Biden was part of the Obama administration that didn't do enough to address very real concerns around immigration, which then ended up being taken advantage of by the Trump administration, who expanded them. So Biden has this political history that makes him an easy target for the left. He's being attacked by the right. Shouldn't Biden, first of all, start to allow whole families in so that there's no family separation? And second of all, simply allow journalists into this facility. You can take proper precautions. Just because we're in a pandemic doesn't mean that journalism stops, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the Trump administration actually allowed some guided tours of the migrant detention facilities back when he was president. So it's really problematic for Biden to deny journalists access to these facilities. He needs to allow. He needs to be transparent and try to show the fact that he's implementing, or at least trying to implement, a more humanitarian approach towards these vulnerable people.
How has Mexico's posture, how has the government of Mexico's posture changed between the Trump administration and the Biden administration coming to power? We know that the Biden administration overturned the Remain in Mexico policy. Has the government of AMLO, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, changed its positioning on migrants once Biden took office, as far as you can tell?
Well, honestly, where it matters, no. I mean, they continue to have very, very militaristic enforcement actions along the southern Mexican border, stopping Guatemalans, Hondurans, El Salvadorans, people fleeing extreme conditions of violence, of climate refugees. They continue to stop them at the southern Mexico border so that they never have an opportunity to enter Mexico, and let alone the United States. Mexico continues to function as a kind of second arm of U.S. immigration enforcement. This is something that actually began as far back as the Clinton administration and really intensified under the Obama administration, as well as under Trump. And Biden has yet to request that the Mexican president, you know, allow asylum seekers to come through if they want to seek asylum in the United States. So where it matters, the Mexican government continues to operate in the way that it was doing under the Trump administration.
And finally, do you have any advice for media coverage around the immigration issue? We were talking earlier about this sense, this conflation of a supposed surge at the border with Biden's, you know, apparently throwing the welcome mat out for migrants. There's also former Trump administrations like Chad Wolf going around giving interviews to NPR to try to drive this right-wing narrative of the crisis at the border. But media, at least those that can be called media, so that doesn't really include Fox News and the right-wing blogosphere, but can bona fide media do a better job on covering this?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's really easy to fall into these traps where, you know, journalists and editors and newsroom managers are looking for a breaking news story and they think, oh, you know, there's all these headlines about a crisis at the border. That means there must be a crisis at the border. But this willingness to use the term crisis without context, without contextualizing that this is a humanitarian crisis that has been ongoing for years, even decades, and this is just part of the normal flow of that. And instead, they continue to paint this as some kind of national security crisis or some kind of Biden manufactured immigration crisis. And that's extremely problematic because it's going to, what the effect that it's going to have is it's going to tie Joe Biden's hands. He's not going to implement as many humanitarian policies on the border as he would have otherwise, because he's coming under such strong attack from both sides of the political spectrum. So journalists have to be really careful about their framing of this crisis. This is not a national security crisis. This is not an open borders crisis. You know, this is a continental humanitarian crisis that is the result of U.S. Intervention in Central America for decades in the late 20th century. This is something that needs a comprehensive solution.
And climate change, too, of course.
And climate change, exactly. It's going to require, there's just so many interconnected components when it comes to this story. And I think there's this tendency to fall into simplistic narratives, and we need to make sure that we don't fall into that trap, because otherwise we're going to continue to have this problem, because we're not going to actually solve the problem of you know, Central American families not being able to live peacefully in their own countries.
Finally, Jean, your last book was called Hate Monger, about Stephen Miller. We had interviewed you about it. Janine Pirro of Fox News recently described immigrant children on her show as a, quote, lower level of human being, which I think if there's anything that meets the definition of racist dehumanizing, that would be it. Does the hate mongering continue past Stephen Miller and Trump, just unleashed by what they started in the realm of the spaces that Fox News occupies?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, as I show in my book, Hate Monger, Stephen Miller really radicalized Donald Trump with the white supremacist propaganda that he was exposed to as a young man in Southern California amid hysteria about demographic shift. And in so doing, Trump then in turn radicalized the Republican Party. Now the Republican Party has embraced these once fringe ideologies that demonize families seeking refuge in the United States, because for them, it really is not about national security. It is not about criminals and cartels, even though they continue to push those narratives. It's about demographic replacement and their fear that the United States will cease to be a majority white country. And this paranoia and this hysteria around this white supremacist belief that brown and black people cannot assimilate, that they are more inclined to violence, or that their culture is somehow incompatible with, you know, Judeo-Christian values. These are extremely dangerous narratives that the Republican Party has embraced and which have, you know, been provoking a radicalization of U.S. civilians, where now the number one homeland security threat to our country is our own domestic terrorism, you know, white supremacist terrorism. That is, when you look at what they're posting on forums and talking about within their own communities, within their own text messages, it's exactly the same narratives that you see now on Fox News and that you see prominent Republican lawmakers embracing as if they aren't extremely dangerous. But they're very dangerous, not only to the people fleeing violence in their home countries, but also to Latinx and other non-white communities living in the United States.
Well, Jean, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck to you. We'll post a link to your Daily Beast article from our website so people can find it there. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
My guest has been Jean Guerrero, investigative border reporter contributing to NPR, PBS NewsHour, and more. She is the author of Crux, a cross-border memoir, and Hate Monger, Stephen Miller, Donald Trump, and the White Nationalist Agenda. Her latest Daily Beast article is entitled Mexican MAGA Conspiracy Theorists Fan Flames at the Border. And we've been discussing the latest border crisis. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.